Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Number 35, episode 35. Linda is here. Linda, please say hello to the listeners.
Hello, listeners.
We've got such a packed show for you today. Hold on to your hats because this is going to be award-winning, ladies and gentlemen. Award-winning!
It's going to be so packed, you'll think someone spiked your brew. You won't know whether you're coming or going.
You won't know whether you're coming or going. And I tell you what, who did come to the show... at the 100 Club a couple of days ago. A lot of people, a lot of wonderful people, and you will be hearing some of the ghost stories that they gave us the other night. That's coming up. That was a couple of days ago. But there's another one coming up. Isn't there another show? 26th of November. The 26th of November. Please go to wegottickets.com/Clinton Baptiste. No. Well, I don't know. But look for Clinton.
Google it.
Google it. I can't
it's all
do everything
now.
I can't do everything for you, can I?
How pissed were they at the 100 Club?
Really pissed, actually. You'll hear that. Tony Nutman. You know Tony Nutman?
No, I feel like I should.
Yeah, well, he was a bit pissed. He told a terrible story. You can hear that coming up later.
Oh. Hopeless.
Brevity is the thing. Brevity. Mm. You know, you don't want to hang around too long, which is exactly what we're doing now. Let's get up. Let's go. How have you been? What have you been up to?
I'm all right. I've been visiting a hospital.
Right.
Not the hospital itself, not like it. And not for me, for a loved one. Whose identity I'm going to keep a secret.
Right,
because
okay.
It's frankly, none of your bloody business.
Well, and I tell you what...
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Yes.
Anyway, he was starving. He kept being told, you'll have to hang on, you can't eat anything, you might get operated on. Of course he didn't. He was absolutely famished. He was ready to eat his own fist at one point.
Oh, God, right.
So I went and bought him a butty, and not just any butty, a Marx's butty.
Yes.
Took it in, wafted it under his nose, a nurse came along and whipped it away.
You're joking.
You can't eat that. You've got to have low fat. So I said, well, look.
Oh, my God.
Let's read the ingredients, shall we? Yeah, you can't have that. I'll go and get you a cheese sandwich. To which the gentleman in the bed went, hang on a minute, how's that? Lower fat
That's
than
lower
this.
That's lower fat. What was it that you'd offer? Which particular
sandwich?
It was
a beef and horseradish.
I wouldn't imagine that's any more fatty than
Not than a cheese butty, no.
Well, did the nurse say, yes, that's better, or...?
They said, no, you can have that. Well, eat it if you want, but I wouldn't. It's not low fat. Let me find you one. Let me get you a cheese butty.
Right.
Confusion all round. They came back with a ham sam.
Because a ham sam. Oh, I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Go on, yeah.
And it was a dry one. And he said, oh, do you know what? I'm not hungry.
Oh, bloody. Well, I know what you're thinking at home.
Oh, yeah, needless detail.
No, it's not needless detail.
You will know this when you're in your lowest ebb. You wait.
Yeah, you just wait.
Oh, yeah, needless detail.
It helps if I turn the volume up on that.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you, I was thinking about sandwiches the only because I keep reading these reports about Pret, very, very expensive. Didn't used to be! Very expensive. First of all, Tom Parker Bowles, who I've met, incidentally, and I'll tell you about him, he had a car wait for me at the BBC once, and he took it.
Oh, what a shit!
Never forgiven him since. Mind you, he's more likely to be kidnapped than me, so what the hell. But anyway, he's in the fabulous Daily Mail Online today. Talking about precisely...
You never miss an issue,
I never miss an issue. I always feel a bit dirty after I've been reading that.
Especially if you read that sidebar.
Oh, that is revolting, isn't it? That is bloody revolting. There are some people who will choose to put a red downward thumb on the most reasonable of stuff. Yeah. You think, what sort of mind does that? Anyway.
You know what sort of mind.
I do. It's the sort of men's it's voting falsehood. Anyway. Tom Parker Bowles in the Daily Mail. Mm. This is his quote. He's talking about sandwiches. And this really...
Before we go into this, let's remember he's better than us.
He is better than us. I will always say that. But he's very much... He's not as good as... He is better than us.
Oh, so much better.
Right, so Tom Parker Bowles in the Daily Mail. This is the sort of thing... Occasionally I'll read this sort of stuff and it'll just wind me up so much. And he says, the jambon beurre sandwich, which is called ham sandwich. This is something we're talking about.
Ham and butter.
Ham and butter. The jambon beurre sandwich is a masterpiece, providing you get it in the morning when the roll is still crisp. Who's got time to dick around with all that?
And if you leave it all day, the roll will be crispy.
And it's chicken, avocado and basil sandwiches. Tastes mighty good. When 36,000 feet over the Atlantic...
Well, you know I can't have basil sandwiches.
Why?
Pesto reacts terribly.
Oh,
you certainly
that's
do not
right.
want to be 36,000 feet locked in with me.
Oh, my God, I think we remember that.
Really shit yourself.
Yes.
36,000 feet over the Atlantic and facing whatever British Airways is calling lunch that day. The shops are always clean, and did I mention the jambon beurre?
Ghastly. Right!
What a nobbin.
We can agree. We've got so much to pack. We're going to speak to some people who want to tell us some ghost stories to convince you. Now, we've just got time to go to this. It is a bite-sized shiver, and it's called A Wing and a Prayer. If you would, please put the spooky music on as we tell a story about a plain mad dad has come up with an inventive way of communicating from heaven.
Now, this story, tall tale, is from Sarah Hullier, who is 25, if you can believe that.
In chat, what's it called? Take a break, fate and fall.
I rolled the dough flat, cut it into strips and popped the baking tray into the oven. It was March 2019 and my dad, Stephen, was in hospital recovering from an operation to remove cancerous tumours from his lungs.
Yeah, this gets nicer. Sorry about that. But...
I was making his favourite cheese straws for Mum and I to take in when we visited the next day. Well, hope is low fat.
I was just going to say that. They wouldn't stand for that. Go on.
I went to sit down, but something made me call the hospital. Dad had been moved onto a respirator after surgery and was doing well, so I wasn't worried.
Yeah, so this does get more interesting in a minute. It's a bit grim at the moment. Hang on.
I went to sit down, but something made me call the hospital. Dad had been moved onto a respirator after surgery and was doing well, so I wasn't worried.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
So you rang the hospital anyway. Okay. The phone on Dad's ward rang for ages, and when a nurse finally answered, her voice sounded weird. We're all with your dad now, she said. You should come.
Mum and I were half... I feel guilty of laughing at any of this. Mum and I were halfway from our house in Kent to the hospital in Birmingham when I got the call to say Dad had gone.
Sorry, oh, bloody that. Hell.
Yes. Apparently, when I'd rung earlier, it was the exact moment Dad's monitor had gone off to say his heart had stopped. That was why the nurse had sounded freaked out when I'd said who I was. It's the eeriest coincidence in all my years of nursing.
I doubt that.
I think they got £300 for this story.
Ah, anyway, of course they
did. I don't think that's the weirdest thing that you might phone up. Anyway, don't matter. I wasn't a believer in the afterlife, but the strange timing did make me wonder.
A few months after losing Dad, I took a flight and found myself seated over the wing. I teared up at the coincidence.
Yeah, that, again...
What's the coincidence? Dad had been on a plane.
No, it's coming up.
Dad's job had been working on the computer software that made aeroplane wing flaps.
Well, it's curiously... you know, there's some connection, isn't there?
He'd loved his job, and whenever we'd flown anywhere as a kid, he tried to explain to me in detail how it all worked. Typical kid, I just groaned about how boring it all sounded.
Another feeling.
Now I wished I'd listened.
On the flight home, I was seated over the flaps again. After a few weeks, and a few weeks on, I had to fly again for work, and again I found myself over the flaps, there and back. It was getting a bit weird. My favourite position over the flaps. It was getting weird now. Then in October 2019, my boyfriend Franklin and I decided to get a dog from a breeder in Poland. On the flight out, collect the dog, who I named Stevie after my dad. Again, I was given a seat over the flaps.
I did not dream when I came in today we were saying flaps quite this much. I thought flaps might come up.
It's a flap special this week. In fact, the whole year after Dad died, every one of my seats on flights were facing the flaps. often on plane models I knew Dad had worked on.
Wow.
It really felt like he was reaching out somehow. Ugh. I never really believed in the paranormal, but Dad's flap seat antics have made me a believer. Well, I don't want to...
I think she's reaching a bit there.
Yes, it's a little... It's not the most compelling evidence I've ever heard. But anyway, that's rather lovely. Look, I tell you what, let's have an interview with, the wonderful, he is still a comedian, but he's like the director of the Southport Comedy Festival, Bren Reilly.
But where does he stand on flaps?
I'm here in Victoria Park in Southport. I'm with Bren Reilly, who is a believer, does have stories. He's just been, what would you call himself? The impresario of the Southport Comedy Festival.
Director.
All right. And he's got, never mind all that, he's got a spooky story that he wants to tell us. And this, I'm assured, is a proper spooky story, not some of the usual shit we get. Bren, please regale us. In the studio, Linda put on the spooky music. Thank you.
Right.
No, don't laugh.
It's a real story.
Come on. Well, come on then.
Are you wanting to be spooky about it?
I want you to just tell a fucking story.
Okay, so I've just died on stage.
No.
So I'm in the Slaughterhouse pub in, which sounds bad, doesn't it, in Liverpool.
That's where the Laughter House is.
Fenwick Street, where Laughter House
is. That's right.
Yes. My mate used to run the gig there. So I was downstairs in the cellar, like the bottom floor with the
club. Hold on, Brad, I'll tell you one thing. I've spoken to the people who run it, who you know, on a previous podcast, telling me spooky stories from that place.
There you go.
Go on, let's hear it.
So it must be true.
Yeah.
Right, so I am in there with another comedian called Patrick Monaghan.
Yes, well
And
done.
My lovely wife, Val.
Yes.
And we had done a gig. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're in the bar, and this is completely true, and people going about orbs on photographs and all this kind of stuff. I was actually... It was years ago. I had a digital, like one of the first digital cameras, and I'm trying to capture orbs of all things because we are talking about it all.
Yes.
And I'm standing there, and an orb shot around the room, and I only saw it go along the wall.
Right.
Val saw it go around the back, and Patrick Monaghan saw it come right around.
You're
so
kidding.
We all saw it in our eyes, and it was like, it wasn't like a light flashing, it was like the brightest ping pong ball.
You're
That's
kidding.
The best way, and it went right round. Came around us, yeah. And
everyone
Patrick
saw it. Yeah,
we all three of us saw it.
How? So it was roughly the size of a ping pong ball, or a speck of dust.
Yeah, no, it was to me. It was this white ball that flashed down the room.
And this is incredible, because you will remember who runs the laptop?
Paula and Chris.
Yeah. That's right. And Chris has been on the show talking about this. I say show, podcast. So you honestly believe that that's what you saw? It was an orb. It was about the size of a ping pong ball, or what?
Right. So if you can imagine, it wasn't a flash of light. I saw it shoot down the room. And when you think about it, I was facing one way. It must have gone right across my vision, but it came because Patrick and me missus saw it come around us,
right.
So it must have gone right round, but it's gone out of my vision, yeah.
And you've got a shot of it?
No.
A photograph of
no.
it?
No.
Right, okay.
Patrick thought I was using the camera somehow. True, 100% true. And he said, was that the camera? And I had it in my hand. I was looking down at the camera when he did it.
Val is just here. Val, could you come over here and just confirm this story? I'm playing devil's advocate.
He's the wife.
This is the wife. Val, just tell me, did you...
She's also the director of the Southport Comedy Festival, by the way.
Had your go. Val, can you please stop him talking and just tell me whether you saw the orb?
I saw a light, just in my peripheral vision kind of thing, and I said, we all looked up at the same time, so...
And are you convinced that it was spirit?
I wasn't sure.
And to this day, you're not sure?
No. I'm not sure. 100%.
Not quite the story you told, Brent, is it? That everyone was quite certain.
Well, as always, I'm glad that they saw it. Patrick Monaghan, comedian, saw it as well. We all saw it.
Saw light, but... And there is supposed to be, you know, spirits there. People have...
Call the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, people have seen... Yeah, people, other people have seen things. Okay. And actually, the owners of the time, Adam, who ran the club then, he had seen, you know, things. And, yeah, so...
I fully believe this, because I've spoken to these people about that very club.
Okay.
Listen, I want to thank you for that. Did it... I mean, were you, like, hair stood on end sort of thing?
No, I'm bald, mate.
Oh, sorry, I was being rather insensitive. He's bald. What about you? You've got a lovely head of hair.
I wasn't scared because I was still sceptical, yes. I still
yes, that's right, that's the word. Well, OK, well, that is, I think you'll agree, a little bit spooky, and we will continue to investigate some of the stuff around Bold Street and all the stuff in Liverpool that's very... very scary. Anything else to add?
There's Royal Court as well. It's got spooky stuff there.
We're going to investigate that. Whereabouts is that?
Row Street.
Okay, I'm just nodding. That means something to me. But
near, George's Hall.
Near the bombed out church.
It's the not near the bombed out church.
Okay, all right. Just checking.
I'll tell you how to get there from the bombed out church.
All right, well, the whole thing's falling apart now. It doesn't matter. We got the main bit. All right, thank you. Namaste. Namaste. That was good.
Time now to hear those spooky stories from the 100 Club.
Ooh.
Ooh, from the other night. And what a night it was. Have a listen to this. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to that time in the show where we're going to hear your ghost stories. We're going to record them for the Clinton Baptist Paranormal Podcast, which we've established some people don't pay for. I don't know why. I've lost the thing that records it in here. I don't know what we're going to do with that. We're going to record it, though. We're all right for that. We're all right for that. I did have another recording device. What did I do with it? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Ladies and gentlemen, where's Glow? Glow is going to come amongst you with the microphone. Have we got a large mic? The one I've got. Here we go. Glow, this is for you. Test this one. Yeah, okay. Hello? That's that one. I've got it stuck. Ladies and gentlemen, please have a think about your ghost stories, because this will be on the podcast very, very soon. There is a prize donated by Monoloco Mixtape here. Wonderful. Give them a round of applause. They've been wonderful. There are two prizes. There are two prizes, ladies and gentlemen. Could we please have anyone, can anyone volunteer for the first ghost story tonight, please? Don't all rush. Who have we got there?
There's one over there.
Oh, hold on. Well, let's go to this chap here, Tony. I believe it's Tony. Let's start with Tony, then we'll come to you.
This is actually a true story. It is true.
Yes, I know. That's what we're after, Tony. You slightly give me the impression it's not in that case.
My mum was... Thank you. My mum was a seventh child of a seventh child. True story.
Right.
Again. One day, they had a spiritual meeting.
Yes.
Just four people. My dad, his mum, my mum, her mum. And it was table tapping. True story. I don't say that. I won't say it again. They all had this big oak table, and four of them were around the table. And my mum said... Speak once for yes, twice for no.
Speak once for yes and twice for no. Why don't you just say yes or no? Speak once for yes and...
It's a Sunday, I've been drinking...
Tony, are you making this up?
No.
As you go.
They said... All right, tap once for yes, one for no.
Oh, it's all falling apart, Tony.
The table.
The table, yes.
Bounced up once.
my fucking God.
My grandmother.
Your grandmother, yes.
Who is very...
She was the seventh
Catholic.
Child of a seventh...
No, that's my mum. Right. So my grandmother, who is very Catholic...
Surprising that time to sit on the table, all the sex that was going on. Fucking hundreds of people in this family.
She didn't agree with what was happening, so she went and sat
I'm not
on the
sure I
the
do either, Tony.
This is true. My dad never told a lie to me, and he told me this definitely happened.
Right.
The table started going mental.
Okay.
Going up and down, up and down,
yes.
up and down, and smashed into my grandmother's legs. True story.
Two out of ten. Now, thank you, Tony. That won't be bothering the prize committee tonight. Terrible, wasn't it? Absolutely terrible. But thanks anyway, Tony. Tony, no, yes. Who's next for the guillotine?
Come over there. If you can come over here a little bit.
Yes, we...
Right.
Nice and quick.
Hi, Clinton.
Hello there. What's your name, son?
I'm Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hello. I was visiting my girlfriend who lives near Sleepy Hollow in New York.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is a bit of a creepy...
Cosmopolitan.
Place. There we go.
Sleepy Hollow, yes.
And I was in the kitchen, and all of a sudden we saw my trainer, which was on the floor...
Trainer?
...levitate up and drop down. True.
Really?
It's true.
Was it an unhappy soul? Oh dear. What sort of trainer was it?
A personal trainer. No.
Is that it?
That was the story. I'm wondering who might have been lifting the trainer, though.
F*** off. Next. This is hopeless. Hopeless! Lisa in the front here. Lisa, my love.
True story.
True story, everyone.
True story.
Well, judging by the last two, just fucking make one up, because they were...
Moved into a house in Bolton, a place called Horridge.
Oh, I know.
Which is the bottom of the...
Horrid, I call it.
Yeah. That's why I live here.
Yeah.
And the bottom of the Pennine Moors.
Yes, I
you know.
You
know what the Penn... And we'd only been in about 2 days, and we kept hearing this cough come from the second bathroom.
Good God.
Posh, I had an ensuite. Yeah. The second bathroom.
Yes.
And
a cough.
Yeah,
I've heard of what a cough is. I know what that is. I've heard of them before.
And the next day, the old neighbour from next door knocked on our door to introduce herself.
It's
she was called Edna.
Do you see, Tony, this is how you do it. And, do you understand?
And Edna said, pleased to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm Edna. And I said, I'm Lisa, etc. And I said, oh, have you got a bad cough? I heard coughing
go
in
on.
The night. She said, no. She said, you're living in the house that Eric lived in and he died.
Well, I know Eric was in the first half. He died after speaking to these people.
And he
died on his ass.
He died.
I don't remember him coughing. I just remember him slagging them off in the dressing room. It's all right. It's all right. It's only a joke. Right, carry on.
And Eric died in that house.
Eric died in the house, yeah?
Of pneumonia.
Yes.
In that back bedroom, which is now the bathroom. We used to hear the cough a lot.
It's not bad, is it?
And eventually, my eldest daughter used to say... Stop.
We've had the scary bit.
Yeah, no, my eldest daughter used to say, stop coughing. And when she used to say, will you stop coughing? He used to stop coughing.
See, they were nicer in them days, weren't they?
That is a true story.
Stop coughing. The poor bloke had fucking emphysema. Stop coughing. I'm trying to watch EastEnders. Well, that goes into the lead so far.
else, but yes, Grant.
I think I've caught Eric's cough. First of all. I used to work for Salford Council.
No one likes to show off, Grant. Go on.
Anyway, the toilets on our floor was out of order, so we had to go into the chambers.
Can you just tell it a bit more spookily, for Christ's sake?
We had to go into chambers.
Yeah, just a second.
Don't be a poo-pooer.
In the toilets, please.
So I was the only one in there in the chambers. It was the basement of the town hall.
Yeah.
And I was at the urinal.
Yes.
And I seen this Parker sort of next to me.
Parker?
Like a Parker coat with Manchester in it, so...
Okay, you know,
everyone wears Parkers and stuff.
Go
anyway,
on.
Anyway, I turn around, because I'm done. There was a mirror there, and there was no one stood next to me. But there was someone...
there was a mirror there?
Well, do you know when you turn around to wash your hands? There's a mirror there, facing the urinals, and there was nobody there.
Did you catch your reflection in the mirror, Grant?
My Parker was red.
I... You know, you don't need second sight for that, just sight. Did it look like you looking back at you?
A little bit, yeah.
Got another one.
Next. Nice try, Grant. Could do better.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello, my love. Now, this is promising. What's your name, my love?
Ellie.
Ellie! What have you got for us, Ellie?
I've got a few, but it depends
on
how long you've got
time. Well, pick one, the best one, please.
Which is the best one? So, my uncle got married in Scotland about 15 years ago.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
And it was in this old castle in the middle of nowhere, really. And they said that it was quite haunted.
Yeah.
So we were all kind of on edge all night, and... everyone got really ill the morning after the wedding. They were all really sick stomachs.
Well, I will say, Scotland, the food is to die for. It's all fried, it'll fucking kill you. But go on.
And my mum was complaining that she didn't get any sleep.
Right.
The whole time we were there. And at the time, I was only 12, so she didn't really tell me anything about it.
Okay.
And we got talking about it a few years ago, and she said she had a very interesting experience in the night.
Go on.
She was... So she was woken up by the feeling of someone climbing into bed with her.
Go on!
And my mother had sex with a ghost.
The Mystic Cup. Did she really?
What do you think about that?
Thanks for asking. That is possible. That is possible. Did she remember, like penetrative sex?
She's...
Sorry, this is your mother. I know we're talking
it's
about...
It's a bit much. But she said she woke up and there was ectoplasm everywhere.
Oh!
Too far.
The dirty bitch. Did you make that up?
I promise you. True story.
Did your mother enjoy the experience?
I think she did.
Sorry, was your dad there as well?
Yes. This was just before they split up.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a sort of phantom three-way sort of thing.
Some sort of phantom thing.
I'm almost inclined to hear the next story. What what happened next?
Oh, that's a bit less raunchy, but...
Well, just spice it up a little bit for me.
So my Uncle Mike passed away
over
a decade ago.
Okay.
And we were round my auntie's house making a roast dinner, and he was very particular about his Sunday roasts. He loved making them, and he would always make the Yorkshire puddings
from
scratch.
Sounds like your mum likes a roast as well, doesn't
she loves
it?
A roast.
Your dad and that ghost, you know.
So my auntie was redecorating the house at the time,
yeah.
And she said she couldn't be bothered to make the Yorkshire puddings from scratch like Mike always would.
Yeah. Okay.
And as she opened the freezer to grab the Aunt Bessie,
go on.
The lid on the paint pot just popped off.
Sorry, which paint pot?
She was painting the house. She was redecorating the house. It was on the side.
Okay, that's. That does happen, doesn't it? If you push a paint pot down, sometimes it can pop up.
I'm not a painter, so I don't know.
No, okay. Yeah, you've rather ruined it now. Because the first one was quite good, wasn't it? Sit down. You are currently in the lead. You're currently in the lead. Lisa's second place.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We turn again to various problems in Take a Break, Fate and Fortune, because I always think Linda is so much more qualified than, in this case, Jane Wallace.
What does she know,
Jane Wallace? So, as I say, please send in any problems you want Linda to sort out. Yeah. Clinton@ClintonBaptiste.com. I might be having something to say about it and all.
I'll get you sorted.
Right, OK. So let's have some concern music as we get on with this question. Can I manifest friends?
OK. This is from Cammy, 28, of Worcestershire. Or is it? Maybe it's by Jane and her mates back at the office.
Well, we don't... That's a little bit... Turn the music off. Don't be so cynical.
Although...
Right,
wouldn't be unheard of, would it?
No.
Question. I found out a friend from work has been saying nasty things about me.
Oh, what sort of thing?
You do have a dirty bottom, I've seen it.
That sort of thing, probably.
But when I told her what I'd heard, she'd replied, "We are not friends." This has really hurt me. How can I attract nice people into my life? Says Cammy, 28, of Worcestershire.
Yeah, to all you bullies out there. boo to you. Jane Wallace's advice is the guidance the angel...
Oh, God!
The guidance the angels wish to give you is that we all have our inner victim and period. Hey?
Oh, this is cheeky. Blaming, are they the angels?
The guidance the angels... We all have our inner victim and period when that aspect of ourselves is more dominant. When we operate from a place of unconditional love, this will become less of an issue. She's had this before where you just offer unconditional love. Send unconditional love to past friends by saying, "Thank you, angels, for helping me send unconditional love to past friends and welcoming new ideal friendships into my life." What else did she say there?
Thinking about what's gone wrong in the past will only manifest more of the same. Instead, focus on all the qualities you want in a friend and the angels will deliver. What a load of old shite.
Well, okay, don't sit on the fence. There is something to be said that sometimes people aren't natural. They like to set themselves up as victims and you kind of go, oh, come on, pull yourself together.
I think it's a bit strong to call Cammy a victim. She heard someone was slagging her off, asked her about it, assumed this person was friendly, and she turns out she's not. It's very hurtful. Cammy, if I could speak to you directly, and I can't because you don't think I'm worth writing to. You said you'd rather write to this woman. Feathery tart.
Yeah.
Listen, hurt people hurt people, right? So this person is clearly not a very happy person and I would be grateful to them for showing themselves as being an arsehole
and
move on.
I'd say to you...
You are a shit.
And as for you, Jane Wallace, I would like to apologise to all our friends at Take a Break, Fate and Fortune. You are not... Let's just get this absolutely clear. You are not a feathery twat or whatever she...
Tart,
as she described you. Let's get on with the next one. Will she stop being a rebel? How about this?
I'd like some advice, says Kat.
Being
44
pathetic.
Of Hartlepool.
Oh, grow up,
and
Kat.
They're using the most delicious stock image of a sulky teenager gazing wistfully into the camera while holding the phone up, and there's a sort of misty image of a mother in a dressing gown trying to get through to her. Why won't you listen to me?
Well, do the bloody story. Go on.
I'd like some advice, says Kat 44 of Hartlepool, who I can guarantee is not in this picture.
Yeah.
I'd like some advice about my teenage daughter. She's gone from being a lovely, well-behaved, studious girl to an absolute rebel.
It happens.
I've had to give in so much because it was causing so many arguments between us. Aha! Will my girl go back to being her own self?
I'm sending you a picture of my purse.
That's one thing to call it.
Christ almighty.
Will you can't make a purse out of a sow's ear.
I'm sending you a picture of my purse. Hey, Kat 44, Hartlepool. Right, things are going to get worse. This is Jane. She's got no sympathy, this Jane. No.
Who's a victim now? Is it Kat?
Things are going to get worse before they start getting better. Your daughter will benefit from speaking to her GP. Now, this is quite good advice. Yes! And I sense strongly that she'll be offered some form of counselling. What?
Or she's just been a teenager. It's the reason why we don't still live with our parents. Every single one of us turned into an arsehole between 12 and 28.
Well, I think, actually, you're quite right.
Nature's way.
It is really harsh if you have to deal with that. That would be pretty awful. I mean, maybe she should go for some counselling. This will take time. I can see quite a few medical appointments over the next 6 months, eh? It's a bit much. Your daughter's just been a bit of a bitch.
She'll be medicated.
Unless she suggests you smack her in the face, then there might be a few medical appointments. Your daughter's been protected by a wonderful man in spirit. Oh, God, I'd hate that. He is telling me your girl has gone down the wrong path.
Oh.
And went down the lane. Oh, I must find that.
Maybe it's because you've been too much of a pussy and you've been giving in to her instead of letting her do her thing.
Bloody hell. And she's been quite forthright today, isn't she, Linda?
But you missed out the big bit in here, you see. Rather than saying, oh, you know, take her to counselling, take her to someone else to sort out, I've had to give in so much. Maybe if you reinforce some boundaries and stop trying to be her friend and be her mum, you might have more luck.
I am inclined to agree with you, Linda. I'm absolutely inclined to agree with you. I think that's wonderful advice.
They will argue. That doesn't mean you have to give in.
And you don't have to send them off to bloody counselling. Wonderful advice. Wonderful advice there.
I'm sorry I called Cat a pussy. Because actually that is the strongest organ and it should not be used in a pejorative fashion.
Exactly right. My man assures me, this man, the spirit man, assures me your daughter is like a boomerang. You have to worry about her leaving you. There's a joke in there somewhere, I can't think what it is. Big Down Under or whatever it is. You haven't to worry about her leaving you. She will always come back to you because you love you very much. Get your girl a chunk of clear quartz.
No. No, get some firm boundaries.
Never mind the clear quartz, get some f***ing manners. to keep her at all times, it will absorb worries and help her think more clearly. Another problem solved.
On a serious note, they can be little shites. You've just got to choose your battles, but make sure that when you do choose a battle, you stay firm.
Do you hear this, people? This is why you need to get in touch with us for your problem. Here's another one now. My friend is making... This is another one to do with mums.
OK.
My friend is making me feel like a terrible mum. Our babies were born 2 months apart, but we're very different mothers. I've never made any negative comments to her, but she constantly criticises me. For example, my son has never had a night away from me. My choice. She tells me I'm too clingy. I feel tearful after being around her, and my boyfriend says I should cut contact. Now, this is from Sophie, 29. I dare say, I don't know how young she was when she had this kid, but this person's probably not a teenager. There's no reason they have to be away from home. What do you think? Linda, please.
Well, I think that a friend is not a friend if you come away feeling less than, right? So if you are continually coming back from these encounters feeling shit...
Yes.
...and, like, you have been... criticised and subjected to let's call it what it is, abuse.
Yes.
Then maybe your boyfriend has got a point. Do you know what I mean? But also,
what?
No one can make you feel like a terrible mum, right?
Oh, there must be a kernel of something in there anyway.
If you are feeling like... If you are feeling shakeable like that...
Yes.
I would do a little bit of self-care and work out what it is that is making you feel like, I don't know, like someone is... If you felt secure in yourself, that wouldn't shake you, if someone being a cowbag.
I think you're quite right.
So... Just look after yourself. And do you know what? Yeah, maybe give her a rest for a bit, because this is not doing you any good at all.
I think you're right. What wonderful advice. And Craig Revel Hallwood says... 10 points there from Linda. The answer is, that Jane says, I agree with your boyfriend. Why don't you marry him then? Your friend is very bitter and she's taking advantage of your soft nature to make herself feel better. Then a bit that Linda won't go for.
No.
Give yourself some love. Get some rose quartz.
Right.
Don't let poisonous people get you down. Now, this is one that I quickly want to get to. Is he recording me?
Oh, my God. After a 25-year marriage, my husband and I have parted company. He wasn't there for me when my dad died suddenly, which triggered the split. And I'm now worried that he won't play fair in the divorce settlement and suspect he's somehow recording my telephone conversations to build a case against me, says Trisha 52 of Kidderminster.
Oh, my fucking God.
Can you imagine being with someone who was recording what you were saying? That is spooky, isn't
it? Okay. Horrible. I know what I think about this, but let's find out what Jane... Her feathery friends reckon.
Jane Wallace, psychic to the stars, acclaimed clairvoyant, says this. Your ex has been recording your conversations 100%.
That is not admissible in a court of law, though. I'll be very careful throwing that kind of accusation around.
And I put it to you, Tricia of Kidderminster, how did you know this? I wrote in to Jane Wallace at Take a Break, Fate and Fortune. Anyway, Jane says he's a very selfish person. He's also been hiding financial stuff from you. I think it's a little bit presumptuous for her to say this out loud.
This could lead, right, especially as we read further, you find out there are children involved. This could drive an unnecessary wedge between two people who are already struggling.
I think you're right. Here we go, listen to this. You are well read. He wasn't the best dad to your kids. And your old father never liked him. How does she know this?
Why didn't she tell her before?
Yeah, if you know so much, why don't you warn her? You stayed together because of your son. But now you are free. I can see a fresh start, and you're going to have a brilliant year. I'm going to give you the words, true passion.
Woo!
Your dad is looking after you. He made sure you saw the text message which alerted you to the issues with your ex. I will say this about Jane Wallace. She's quite happy to lay it on the line, isn't
she?
Yeah,
she tells a story.
I mean, she really does. I don't know, you know, how accurate it is, but, I mean, the good thing is you're going to hear the words true passion. I think we know what that means. That's what's going to be happening there. Anyway, let's hope your dad isn't looking at you when that's going on, biting your face in a cushion.
All right, yeah.
Right, that's good.
True
right.
Passion means something different to everyone, doesn't it?
Yes, of course it does. Of course. It could mean passion for, I don't know.
Dance.
Flower arranging. Anyway, listen, we got to speak to someone now, a fella coming through who wants to speak to us about a very spooky thing that happened. From Gordon Breslin, who's a brilliant photographer who's taken my picture, my photo quite a lot.
So he's seen things.
He's seen some spooky things, some very handsome things in costumes on stage. Here we go, part one. Here we go. It's in three parts, but stick with it.
In 1972, when I was 16, I lived in West Wickham and had a great group of school friends from Langley Park Boys and Girls Schools, which are just down the road from where I live now.
Just a second.
To this day, we all live locally and we still knock about together, and sometimes this tale comes up as it is still something that splits us into two camps, the believers and the sceptics. That, my dear friend, is what we call a preamble. We're not even in it yet.
Yeah, God, hold on. Yeah, keep going.
Down the lane. And over a field from where we lived stands Wickham Court, which can trace its history back to 1504.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was built by Anne Boleyn's grandfather. Inside the grounds is St John's Church in the ancient graveyard that belongs to it. We had heard a myth that the churchyard was a tomb that had a split in it and you could see inside.
One Sunday night in the middle of winter, four of my pals, John the ringleader, Henry, Ray and G, decided to see if it was true. Waiting until it was 9 p.m. and after they'd done their homework, they met up and set off. They trudged through some frosty fields in the pitch black as it was a moonless night with hooting owls for company. To get to the isolated church, he's trying to say...
Is this a famous five?
It's a famous fucking 45, the way it's going on. But at age 16, they were fearless, or so they thought, ...
All they knew was that the tomb holding the remains was that of Admiral John West, father of Salmon.
Yeah, love him, love his tuna.
After hunting around the oldest part of the graveyard with their torches, sure enough, they found the tomb. They knelt down and found a crack.
No, don't laugh.
8 inches by 10 inches. That's a big crack.
As John had come up with the escapade, the others decided it was him. With him, had decided it was him who had to take a peek. John pushed his hand into the crack, wrist deep, and shone his torch inside.
Woo!
This is what happened. The torch shone on the skeleton, and the skull moved a fraction, and the eye sockets were then looking straight at John.
Ah! He yelled in alarm. The other three legged it without even waiting for him. He jerked his hand so hard he dropped the torch inside the grave, lighting the bones. His hand stuck in the crack.
Oh, my fucking God.
He could see the illuminated skull and what appeared to be the shape of a smile on the mouth. He managed to free his hand and join the others running down the hill, and at the bottom he told them what he had seen. That sight still haunts him.
As soon as they got back to their respective homes, they made calls to the group, including me. Most of us thought it was a load of tosh.
So he wasn't even there?
No, well, you know, I know, it's a little bit...
Someone could be pulling a string somewhere.
On Mondays, we all met up at youth club at Emmanuel Church in the Grove, West Wickham. The four Tomb Raiders all got to tell their story again, and there remained a great deal of scepticism amongst those of us who hadn't gone. One of the four, Henry, said the only way to prove it was to summon the Admiral through a Ouija board session.
Cheat myself.
We decided to meet on Friday night at Sue and Carol's parents' house. Between the Monday and Friday, Clive, a sceptic of the story, decided to do some research so that if we did summon the spirit, we could ask some proper questions to validate it wasn't another hoax like we thought the whole tomb story was.
Yeah.
It took Clive quite a bit of effort, as it was 1972 after all, but he found some bits and pieces in the library and established that the Admiral was born in 1774 and died aged 88 in 1862. At the age of 14, he joined the Navy on board the Pomona. He had a wife and 5 children.
I'm sure there were other facts. No more facts, a bit boring. But anyway, Clive had enough, yes, so have I, to catch out anyone trying any funny business with the glass and the board.
In a ghost up my
family. Sorry, wrong one. At Carol and Sue's house, it was decided none of the four that went could be part of the Ouija, and that Clive wouldn't either. He gave us a list of questions but kept the answers secret. To this day, he swears he did not reveal any of the answers to anyone in that room.
We turned the lights off, lit some candles and gathered round. From being all jokey, a deathly hush fell upon all of us in the room, and John was decidedly nervous. I shakily placed a finger on the glass, and I must say that at no point did it feel like anyone was guiding the glass. We started by asking the spirit world if we could summon the spirit of the Admiral, and after a respectful pause, I asked the spirit world by the tried and trusted phrase, "Is there anybody there?"
The answer came back.
About your pencil.
Despite the radiators being on in the room, it went icily cold. The glass moved, yes. Identify yourself, please. The glass moved around the board at pace to spell out Admiral Sir John West. Nobody had any clue he was a sir as well as an admiral. Clive nodded to confirm it was correct.
We carried on asking the spirit a few more questions that Clive had prepared, and with each answer the board offered up, Clive would nod that the Ouija board answers were indeed correct. You could cut the atmosphere in the room with a knife. Nobody dared move. Nobody took their eyes off the board. About 10 minutes in, the scariest moment came, when the question was...
Do you like to chase me, John Jonas?
Sorry, can you appear amongst us now? Yes, came the response. How? The glass moved from F to E to A to R to spell fear. We all f***ing shit ourselves and tipped the board over. Let's speak to Gordon Bloody Breslin right now. Gordon is with us now. Gordon, where are you phoning from, please?
I am in Beckenham, which is not far from where the scene of the spooky story is set. In fact, just about 2 or 3 miles away.
Yes, OK. And do you, to this day, maintain that it was real, that it was true, or do you think people have, you know, embellished it over the years?
Not at all. I think I was quite truthful in what I said, that I was one of the sceptics, but now... Yeah, and obviously listening to you and seeing your shows, I'm obviously a believer.
Yeah.
I spoke to John, the main ringleader this morning, and he still stands very much by the story of that night, which is 50 years ago now.
Okay.
And also Clive still swears to this day that he revealed none of the questions as well,
right.
let alone the answers.
The thing that fascinated me more than anything was lifting up the lid of the coffin and seeing a skeleton turn, eyes roll and smile.
He's lifting up lids. He was putting his hand in the crack.
But do you know what I mean?
For a skeleton
to turn round. Come on.
Well, no, it didn't turn round. I said it moved a fraction, I think, was what I said.
Well, yes. Fucking hell. Thanks, Gordon. That's what picked me up.
Details matter, Clinton. Well done.
Go on,
thank you, Gordon.
Yeah. So when we first heard the story, you know, my initial reaction was, well, you know, you've got four people sitting down and kneeling down where they were doing, gathered around one particular spot to try and look through the crack. So maybe it could just have been the weight may have just shifted the contents of the tomb.
And suddenly it all falls apart, Gordon. Come on, stick up for the story. You saw a skeleton move or you didn't?
Again, you haven't read the part one. I wasn't there. I'm relating the story as it was told to me.
All right. Okay. But the people who clearly you believe...
You trust them. So I was as a sceptic, but then the scary Ouija session really made me believe the guys, and they were just steadfast in their story. So I just, you know, and people I trust and still trust to this day. And so I was convinced.
All right, I've got to ask you this, Gordon. What were the questions that were asked that were so sort of verifiably true of General Sir
John
West and his Salmon Fillet?
I think Clive had some questions about, you know, date of birth, you know, name of the ship, what date of death. But obviously a couple of, you know, perhaps they could have been gleaned from the tombstone itself. But I can't honestly remember all the questions he had, and I don't think Clive actually kept a record of the questions he was asking.
Right, but because you'll forgive me, but just simply, you know, spelling out fear, he could have spelled out tuna, I suppose. but you know, spelling out fear, I mean, that's not really, you know, I mean, when it boils down to it, that doesn't really mean anything much, does it?
Well, I think, you know, you've obviously been in seances and Ouija sessions yourself, so I think you can absolutely sense the change in atmosphere, and that's kind of what happened. You know, the hairs on the back of my neck went up, and John this morning just says one of the things he really remembers was that the room did literally change temperature and was very, very cold.
All right. Gordon, I sense that you are very keen to defend it, and I'm only playing devil's advocate because Linda's here. She's stroking her beard and looking at me, and it's almost like you believe it, because there's something about the veracity of it in his face, in Gordon's face.
I think it's a deliciously macabre tale, and I'm enjoying it enormously.
Yes,
but of course, at the back of my mind is one word emerging.
What?
Bullshit. I think that it was teenagers, spooky situations, and you rile each other up, don't you? I do believe that it can have a physical effect. I'm not doubting the veracity of your claim that maybe you felt cold, got chills, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, we wind each other up as kids, don't we? I've seen adults do it now on ghost hunts.
Gordon, what do you make of that?
Well, Linda was looking very, very serious. I thought she was, you know, going to change her tune and become a believer like me and you. But
to be honest, I think she was thinking about what she's going to do after she's finished recording this.
I'm thinking tuna mayonnaise sandwich. I don't know what it is.
Me too.
About this girl's making me peckish.
I was thinking about that. You can do a lovely pasta with a bit of tuna.
You can. Very simple, but effective. Yes.
Let me just 1 second, Sir John, should I buy the chunks? The one in the water. Or the oil. He says chunks every time. Is it not a false economy? Shouldn't one have the steak? I mean, I would always say, for example, with... I'm not going to ask John. Thanks, John. You know, if you buy, like, chopped tomatoes or something, I always think you're paying extra what to chop the tomatoes. Just get the plum tomatoes. Chop them up yourself in a bolognese.
Mm. But when it comes to tuna, it's all... short as long, isn't it? You couldn't mash it.
Do you pay more for chopped tuna, or do you? I mean, I imagine you get the steak, the actual tuna steak. It's bigger. You get more for your money, don't you?
I've never thought about it that deeply. I have. I just go where the.
I think you've got it with the tuna in a tin. You've got to get it out and give it a good forking, haven't you?
Okay, Gordon. Thank you very, very much.
I think this is disintegrated somewhat, hasn't it?
Gordon, you were going to go to the top of the table, but actually, what it turns out is you weren't there for the moving skeleton. You can't provide any details of the questions asked at the Ouija. And when I mean, it's only four letters in fear, isn't it? Lots of love. Take care.
Bye, God.
Bye.
What a lovely man. Thanks, God. Don't wave like that.
It's like he's won a competition.
It look a bit simple. Back to your problems now. Linda, please tell me what you make of this. This is from Take a Break, Fate and Fortune, with a very sort of, well, it can be quite alarming. It's a family problem.
Oh, dear, yes.
Here we go. Has she changed?
This is from Inez, who is 33 and from Suffolk. And what a deliciously exotic name.
Yeah, isn't it?
My sister is single with a well-paid job, and I have a 3-year-old daughter with my long-term partner. When we were kids, she would put me down and tell me I was ugly.
Oh.
It has left me anxious and mistrustful of others. She wants to take my daughter on days out, but part of me doesn't trust her. Has she changed?
Oh. Well, it's naughty.
It is naughty. That's poor old Inez, 33, from Suffolk. This is what Jane says. Your sister will always be
She goes in, doesn't she?
Mm. Fucking hell. Your sister will always be a manipulative person. She really does want to have an emotional, meaningful relationship with your daughter. But be on your guard. She will use this against you. Her love life is not what it should be. Oh, Christ. So she's pouring a lot of attention into your daughter.
Blimey, that is a level of detail there. Imagine if she actually knew these people. What was she...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
My feeling about this is, without knowing the detail of it, everyone's sister was horrible to them when we were growing up.
Yes, of course!
They? One of the main go-tos was, you're ugly, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't think that is the basis for depriving your now grown-up sister of seeing her niece.
I think that's absolutely correct. Jane, really. Terrible, terrible advice. What I will say in Jane's defence is she doesn't beat around the bush, does she?
She plants a new bush, sets fire to it, and then beats you with the remnants.
Absolutely. Now, get this. This is really curious. This is from the same magazine. My psychic thunderbolt, call on me.
And there's a picture at the top of what can only be described as, I'm going to say it, a tramp stamp.
There is a tramp stamp here, my angel tattoo, with wings. Look a bit feathery. It looks like someone's vag, doesn't it?
It does look a bit pubic, I'm going
to
be honest.
It's a bit pubic, but that belongs to Charlotte Humphreys, 25, who looks like she's put her... growler. Anyway, in the magazine. This wasn't a wrong number. It was Divine Calling Me by Charlotte Humphreys, 25. Can we have the spooky music, please?
Yeah. Rooting through my wardrobe, I pulled out another outfit and threw it on the pile with the others on the floor. I've got nothing to wear, I sighed, curling into a ball on the floor and bursting into tears. It seems a little dramatic.
What's the matter with all these snowflakes nowadays? Oh, my sister's a bit nasty to me. Oh, yeah, tell her you need to go for counselling.
Oh, hang on. But really, it wasn't the clothes I was having a meltdown over. It was my so-called friends at school. I was 16 and fed up of getting bullied.
Oh, I do apologise. My fault.
today been a particularly bad day.
So sorry.
And I was home alone. Oh, I was ready to go to that.
Idiot!
Sorry, I didn't know. I don't. I've even read this. I couldn't even remember that bit.
I was at home alone at my parents' house in Manchester getting ready to see my boyfriend Jack, who I was hoping would cheer me up.
Yeah, well, she got a boyfriend. That's something, isn't it?
Yeah. He offered to come and get me, but I told him I'd get the bus. But it was getting late and I still wasn't ready.
Oh, well, all I can say is...
Okay, originally I was worried this was going to be shit.
But it turned out to
be.
Still might be. Here we go. To my surprise, it only rang once, then stopped before going to voicemail. Weird, in italics. Even so, I heard Mum's cheery recording click in.
Hi, it's Carol. We're not here right now, so leave a message. I heard the beep so the caller could start speaking and then silence until... Hi, Charlotte. Came a soothing female voice. It's me. Don't worry about anything.
No, no. Yeah, I know you doubt this, Linda, but...
Wait, wait, wait. It's a true fucking story. I know it's shit, but it's true.
That's Becky from Bedford. Who was me? I had no idea. It's all going to be okay, the voice continued. So get yourself up. It's all going to be fine.
In an instant, I felt calm as I stood up like she'd asked and slowly went to the hall to press play and listen to those wise words again. But there was nothing on the machine.
Oh, my God.
I was baffled. The message had been clear as day and the caller had the most beautiful voice. I think we played her beautifully, don't you?
Yeah.
But each time I tried to play those calming words again, nothing.
Next day, I told Mum. That gave me goosebumps. That...
Goosebumps?
That gave me goosebumps, she shivered.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
I looked into who it could have been and discovered, to my amazement... Get this, and this is true, Linda, before
She's
you scoff...
She's going to leap to conclusion.
...that spirit can hack into electronics.
What a load of
well,
shite!
Well, my team's thing has really been shit this week. I imagine that spirit. you've heard the expression ghost in the machine.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Are
that's
we believing
it.
In them as well?
I knew then I hadn't imagined the message, yet I didn't discover it had been an angel calling, right, until I saw two mediums who confirmed that a female one had been looking after me. Oh. They even described her voice perfectly. Soft, soothing and feminine.
Well, it's not going to be flipping scratchy and... Oh, God.
Just a minute. Can I just say, don't poo-poo. Some feminine people do not have a particularly soft, feminine,
no,
soothing voice. I give you this as a first example.
Put the woolly in the bin.
There you
are. I know, but if someone's going to describe an angel voice...
You wouldn't describe Ruth.
A voice of an angel, right? Yeah. It's always going to be... It's never going to be, all right, kid, you'll be fine, get up, is it?
No, that's right. It's
come
not
on now.
No, go on.
I don't think that's particularly groundbreaking new. Knowing I had a guardian angel was such a comfort, particularly in 2014, when a really rocky year left me at an all-time low. Then, out of the blue, I had an email offering me work at a kid's holiday camp in Portsmouth. My dream job. Oh,
your
my
dream
God.
Dream job?
Really?
Your dream job is working in Portsmouth at a fucking holiday camp for kids.
Oh, God.
Some people... Honestly, some people, their sights aren't very high, are they?
You can keep the supermodel job. No, I don't need to be a chocolate taster
no,
for Cadbury's.
No.
I want to go and work in Portsmouth.
Yeah, I mean... Anyway, it was so far away, I nearly didn't take it, and it sounded shit as well, until I realised it was the angel intervening. So I accepted the job, and now 7 years on... I am still here and have my own beautiful little family. Come on, that's not too bad, is it?
I don't think your reproductive capabilities are down to this.
No. If I hadn't heard the voicemail, right, I would have never believed in guardian angels.
Those few seconds change everything for me, and now I have my angel tattooed on my ribs to remind me. Yes, it was such a massive moment for her. She has to have a reminder permanently engraved on her.
That looks like someone's vagina. I don't sense her all the time, but I know if I ever need her, she's only a call away. Hey. It's a lovely story. A little bit thin.
That sounds like a 300 quidder to me. Is it not to you?
Yes, it does. It was a bit thin, that. I mean, blimey. God, she must have gone mad when she got 300 quid. I mean, considering her dream job was that shitty thing in Portsmouth.
300 quid, you buy 300 more tattoos?
I imagine a win on the old McDonald's Monopoly game. Fucking blow her head off. End Anyway.
Oh, aren't we snobs?
We're so nasty. Mm. Listen, I want Linda, what are you going to be doing now when you leave this fatal, fatal, mortal place?
What am I going to do?
Yeah, try and think of something.
I've not got a lot at the moment, if I'm really honest.
Are you going to go and watch the telly tonight? I think England are playing tonight.
Oh, I won't be watching that.
Whoa!
Come on, lads. I've been watching.
What?
Quite sexy. Interview with the Vampire. They made a TV series out of it. Sexy. I like vampire things.
Why? Because it doesn't really... What is it about sucking blood?
It's not even about sucking blood. I think it's just dangerous and sexy. I blame Christopher Lee.
Yes, okay, all right.
Because those films were quite formative for me. And I've always thought they were great.
Maybe this says something about that you do have a latent sort of underlying belief in the supernatural, Milo.
Or I just really like nylon 90s.
Do you know, I actually quite like that, the more kind of...
Those 90s they used to wear in those Christopher Lee films, they were not really of the period, were they? They were more like Valley of the Dolls.
Yeah. I'm thinking of that now. If you could see me now, I'm doing like a red scuttle from Benny Hill. I move my glasses.
And considering, that a lot of them were set in Victorian / Edwardian times, a lot of fake eyelashes and bouffant.
I quite like that. I do like that sort of slightly polyester thing. It's a bit more real, a bit more British. Yeah. You know what I don't like sexually? You know some people are into, like, leather and whips and all that?
Yeah, perfect.
That does nothing for me. I cannot understand that. It does absolutely nothing for me. I like it all soft and gentle.
Oh, do you? Well, it's all textures, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like those textures.
You like nylon, you like a little bit of static electricity.
I like it. I like a nasty headboard from the 1970s.
Velour.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I like.
Bit of pleather, maybe.
That's it. Brentford nylons. Well, we've had a lot of fun, and that was a little bit rude to finish it off.
It was.
Just enjoy that. Just think of that. Right, ladies and gentlemen, please come back next week. Linda, will you be back next week?
Probably.
Oh,
I hope bad penny.
So. Unless a vampire has turned you into.
Could get lucky.
Until next time. By the way, will you please come to see us at the 100 Club, 26th of November? Or the 3rd of December.
Do you come. We don't bite. Or do we? No, we don't. That would probably be...
You're coming along to at least one of those, aren't you?
I will see.
Oh, we can't promise anything, but hopefully you'll see Linda in the flesh. Mm. All right. Lots of love. Until next time, namaste, guys. Bye-bye. Say goodbye.
Bye.
My thanks, obviously, to Linda Pollock, Bren Riley, Val Riley, Gordon Breslin, and, of course, to Glow for this wonderful end song with accompaniment so ably from Archie Levy.
It's on my sleeve now. I'm shouting from the trees now. I've never had it quite so romantic. Blessings on blessings, it's almost religious. Let me know, let me know, let me know. If you gotta, take it slow, I'm your little bird, don't go too far. When you feel me up, I could touch the stars. Secrets are told, but I keep them safe.
See you at the 100 Club on the 26th of November or the 3rd of December for our Christmas show. Namaste.
Yeah, needless detail.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.